This is Discipleship Dissected on Coach and Joe.
Welcome to Coach and Joe Podcast, a podcast for leaders. And I'm here with a good friend of mine who I just met a few months ago. She's from New York. She's an Ascent student, Ascent Year One local student here at our Ascent University. And her name is Janelle Olson. Hey there.
How you doing?
You ever done a podcast before?
Not like this. No, I did one live session a few months ago.
How in the world did you find Ascent? Actually, I do remember this because you said it on Coach and Joe. The Danielsons?
Yes.
And then A-Rod and his wife?
Yep.
But they moved down here. Why did the Danielsons move down here? Work?
Yes, GE.
Okay, I'm putting it all together. Did the father just show you to come on down, or how did it all happen?
It was a long process. I'm a slow person. I would visit them. And when they planted their roots down here, Ridgeway became family. I just loved what God was doing here.
Where in New York are you from?
Upstate.
33 years old, from upstate New York?
Yeah.
Syracuse?
No. Ish? Albany area.
Okay.
Or Albany, depending on.
So you don't have winter anymore compared to where you're from?
No, but it seems cold to me here. I don't know if I'm acclimating already.
You're probably acclimating. You don't see many people that move from down here up there. If a southerner were to move from down here, used to a February where sometimes it can be 68, 70 degrees. Mm. Yesterday it was 70 degrees.
Yeah.
January 26th. If a southerner were to move to Albany, New York on one of those 1 degree days, what's the coldest day you remember up there?
With the wind chill factor?
Yeah.
Negative 15 probably.
What do you do? Just
you stay in the house.
Yell at God, read Lamentations.
Yeah, you lament.
See, you said you're slow. Have you ever taken the Myers-Briggs test?
No, I did, but I don't remember. Actually, what's interesting is my job is offering a module on it, a training, so I'm going to take that to dive into it a little bit.
I'm guessing you're introverted. You gain your energy from more by yourself.
Yes.
I'm guessing you're a sensor. My bet is you're going to be an ISTJ. You ever taken the Enneagram?
That was the test that I was just talking about. No.
You haven't taken that one either? You ever taken DISC?
No. I have taken them, I think, in my yep. travels, but I don't remember them specifically. But you're spot on. I'm an introvert. Intellect.
Deep thinker.
Yeah.
But you're the type of person that I've noticed just over the years, your yes is yes. And so you're like an investigator.
Oh, yeah.
But I've watched you at Ascent. What are we 4 months into this thing now? Your year? Is it 4 months?
Five, I think.
Golly, 5 months. No way.
Time flies. Right?
You started in August.
Yes.
Here's what I've noticed in you. You have, I was telling Angela about you the other day. There's a justice thing in you. So I'm going to say something that's kind of weird to all of us, but are we open to the idea that your story was written before you were even born?
Yeah, I think we have to be.
Dan Allender wrote a book called To Be Told. Fantastic book. And we have Bridgeway Church in Clemson, and Adam and Shauna lead Bridgeway Church. Shauna Keys has said over the years, sometimes it just feels like we're even robots in a good way.
Right.
Like, not a bad way. You're just like, wait a minute, am I stumbling into something, or was this pre-planned for me?
Right.
And Dan Allender says, oh, our stories are being written and were even written before we're here. And I can even prove this in the scripture. A lot of stuff that John Bevere talks about. It's like, oh my goodness. Like, I asked the question in class, I'll ask you now, when was Jesus crucified?
Before the world began.
I mean, let's just sit on that.
Because God has seen.
Let's sit on that for a second. End. He's slain before the foundations of the earth. Excuse me. You know what, to me, Janelle, is, I don't want to talk about justice today with you. I want to talk about just taking our hands off the steering wheel and taking a deep breath. You know what? A lot of people ask me for prayer about all the time as a lead pastor. Do you know?
No.
They want to know God's will for their life. And I always answer the same thing. They don't like it. It's just, your will is just to get up and Shema today. And they're like, excuse me?
Right.
What is that, a sin, Shema? And no, the oldest Hebraic prayer in the world. And the Shema is about two things. To you, what is the Shema all about?
Well, it's listen and obey.
Mm-hmm. How many times do you do that?
All the time.
There you go. Let's talk about the Shema. Jesus prayed the Shema.
Yeah.
It's out of the Old Testament, hear, O Israel. And the whole idea is listen and obey. What if we stumble into the quote-unquote will of God over our lives, which was written a long time ago? What if we stumble into it by millions of tiny moments of just walking with Him?
It's like breadcrumbs, really.
All right, so talk to me about your own journey. Don't go back before Albany. Talk to me about from Albany till now. How long were you here before you started Ascent?
About 6 months. A year. A year.
Let's just go then to the last year and a half. How has this breadcrumbs thing been your reality?
Oh, it's crazy. When I first moved here, I just wanted to be part of the family, Bridgeway. Ascent was a nice idea. I would have loved to have done it 10 years ago when I got out of college. And so I was actually kind of a little bit envious too, if I'm going to be real. And so maybe that was, now for looking back, God was planting a seed there, right? So I first moved here in August and stayed with the Danielsons for a while as I looked for the place to root down. And in the midst of that, the company I work for has been so generous in letting me work remotely, which now everybody's working remotely.
Yeah.
But they've also, so they've helped me along the way. But what happened was, is in November, after I moved down here, the client, I work for a consulting group, so we have a bunch of different clients. The client decided that they no longer wanted to continue with the project come the new year. And so that can be scary because then maybe I'm not going to have a job in a few months as we wrap up. I was the project manager. I also did quality assurance for that project. It was one of the scariest moments of my life. I remember crying out to God because I was just so, I'm like, what's going to happen? I can find a job here, I'm sure. I don't necessarily want to, you know. I love the company I work for. They were gracious to, honestly, they offered me for the year, if they couldn't find another place for me to, another project, they would still front my salary and stuff like that. It's just incredible what God's doing there. But what happened was, and now looking back, is that it removed me from a critical role on a project to allow me to go part-time in a full-time job, you know? So God was in control of the whole situation, right? And He provided a way. And so that gave me an opportunity. He also put me on two part-time projects in the meantime to kind of figure out what the next steps are in that company. And that allowed me to go to my boss, who's not a believer, and say, hey, can I go to this Christian school?
You know who really struggles with control? Humans.
Everybody?
Humans.
I was going to say, it's a
humans.
Question.
Why is that? A lot of people think, I've just been doing this for so long, the assumption is men struggle with lust, women struggle with control. I have found that humans struggle with control. Do you know where control stems from?
Lack of trust?
Fear.
Okay.
So when I'm afraid, let's go back to the garden, right? All of a sudden they got fig leaves on. Well, why? They're afraid.
Right.
God says, Adam, where are you? Calls out for Adam, not Eve. Adam, where are you? When we are afraid, we try to control everything around us. How well does that go?
Right.
I think the journey for you from Albany to down here is just take the hands off the steering wheel.
Every day.
Well, see, that's the deal. Okay, so here we go. So in the West, most of the salvific story of God is about a decision you made X amount of years ago when you said yes. Well, there's really no biblical precedent for that. There is no prayer in the Bible that says, ask Jesus Christ into your heart. The biblical narrative, you read it for yourself, is to become a disciple of Jesus.
Right.
So a real true salvation moment is not praying a prayer that you don't want to go to hell. I mean, the way that a lot of us give invitations, a demon could get born again. Hey, who believes that Jesus died on the cross? Yep, I do. Who doesn't want to go to hell? Whew, I don't.
Right.
I bet the demons would love to do that. Just, but yeah, let me pray that. The biblical narrative is to come into covenant with God to where you don't own anything anymore. So Psalm 24:1, everything is in the world's the Lord's and everything in it. We laugh at class all the time. I'll say, hey, whose necklace is that?
Yeah.
It's funny, the other day I asked you, I said, where are you from? You said heaven. You ruined my the thing I was doing, because most people tell me where they're really from. Well, the truth is, we're not from here. This is not our home, and you don't own anything. So the only way things really get screwed up down here is when we grab the steering wheel. And so someone may make a decision years ago not to grab the steering wheel, but what I'm hearing you say is it's an every day to let go.
Yeah.
Why is that so hard for you? Because, and then I'll tell you why it's so hard for me after you.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's fear and not really putting trust in the Father that He's going to guide me.
Why do we struggle with it? We all do. I'm a pastor and I do. Why can't we just get it right?
I don't know.
Maybe we're broken.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe He's more gentle than we think. You know what I have to do a few times a day? Father, it's yours. Father, this is yours. Abba, this is yours. I will say this. I'm happier when I'm not driving.
Yeah.
Are you?
Oh, for sure.
So you go to a non-Christian boss, you get your hands off the wheel, and he says yes.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So you take your hands off the wheel, and breakthrough comes.
Right.
How have you seen that play out?
It was a big test on fear of man versus fear of God, for sure.
Take your time, girl.
I really honor my boss. He's an incredible guy. He's actually discipled me in a lot of different ways, physical capital, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
At some point. But I think it was God saying, all right, I really feel like part of it's a journey of learning to understand or know His voice too. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we do hear it, right? Hear His voice. And making sure that, like, oh, did I hear Him correctly? But that's a concern. But that's processing and, you know, like, questioning too. But actually going, and there's, so I have two bosses. One is a believer. Mm-hmm. They're brothers. And I felt God say, go to the one that's not a believer, because it's harder, right? And so, because originally I requested if I could go, I kind of just, actually, for as a reference, I used the other brother for online ascent. Mm-hmm. And God had other plans. So anyway, as all that transpired, God prepared a way, and they're very supportive. What was crazy, though, this is, for days, I couldn't stop thinking about how good God is. For a while, they ended up paying me full-time for about 6 months, actually, even though I went down to part-time hours.
You let go, and God gives you more.
Right.
It drives me crazy. Recently, I can't remember where Jesus did His first miracle. Was it Bethany? John 2. Where is He in John 2? Do you remember the story of His first miracle?
Water into wine.
All right, tell me what you know of the story. I have to look it up. It drives me crazy.
From what I remember, they're at a party, right? Or the wedding.
Yep.
And the wine, they ran out of the wine. And wine is pretty Cana. Significant.
It was in Cana.
Okay. The wine is very significant at the in that culture, and they ran out of it. And I believe, I don't know who initiated it, but at some point they went to Mary, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I think she was initiating it.
Okay. And Jesus said, it's not my time.
What then happens? Because this is a key to breakthrough, because this is what you've been talking about really all morning here on the podcast. What happens? What does she tell him?
She tells the, I don't know, who is it? The disciples?
No, some other men at the wedding.
She tells them to go and do what He says.
That's right? It? That's all she says?
Yeah, that's huge.
So she points at Jesus. Apparently now, Mary must know something. Because in context, she's the one that initiated His ministry.
Yeah.
Which shows He was undercover. And He said, well, it's not my time. Well, my question is, what did she know to be? He apparently had to have some conversations with her.
Right.
Who knows? Maybe he even did some things in front of her, and she was like, what in the world? And, oh, my goodness, this must be what Gabriel was talking about. Oh, wow, you are Son of God. Who knows what happened? She knew something.
Yeah.
That's not my point. You know what she said? She pointed to him and said to the man, do whatever He tells you to do. I think the key to breakthrough on the Shema is admitting, I don't have the ability to do much at all. Like I'm not self-deprecating or even calling myself stupid. I'm just saying Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never lean on your own understanding ever.
Right.
And so the Shema is saying, Father, what do you think I ought to do? Hey, Janelle, go to the other boss, because that'd be a little harder.
Yeah.
God loves a challenge.
Right.
He loves it. He loves it. And they're going to pay you full-time for part-time for a long time.
It's crazy.
You know how doors shut in the kingdom? Put your hands on the wheel.
Right.
I cannot believe what I hear the Holy Spirit saying in my spirit right now. Carrie Underwood song. Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah.
And now you know what else he's singing to me? I swear to you. Let it go. I told my daughter, Ruthie is 15, and back when we were watching Frozen, I said, sweetie, I love you. I would die for you. If I watch that movie one more time, I'm going to physically injure myself badly. That song, how famous did that thing go? It get.
Oh, Let It Go?
Let It Go. But isn't that what we're getting at here?
All different countries, for sure.
Where are you going to be 10 years from now?
No idea.
How are you going to get there?
Follow the Father.
Yeah, Let It Go.
Yeah.
So basically, every day is a Let It Go. What is something right now that Abba has you taking your hands off of?
Fear of man.
Tell me about it. Are you in the class, the breaking off intimidation class?
Oh, yeah.
God, I love that class.
I leave that class stirred up.
I scream that class. You know why I scream in that class so much? Because I had a fear of man for 600 years.
Yeah.
You know you can be delivered of it, though.
Yeah.
Vince Gaskin looked at me yesterday and said, God burned that thing out of you. I said, yeah, he did.
I think I'm in a process of it right now.
How's it manifesting?
I mean, he reveals things to me. Right now, I think, honestly, fear of man comes in different levels, for me at least.
Yeah, that's good.
And right now, it's the leaders in my life I'm intimidated by. And
are you honestly intimidated by me at all?
Oh, yeah.
See, that's so funny to me, because I've been
the... You can't tell?
No, I've been the insecure kid most of my life.
Okay.
What is it? You know it's silly, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
To honor is one thing.
Okay, so it's the lines that I'm trying to...
Okay.
Because honor is huge for me.
Well, I know that. I'm not talking about honor. We need to honor each other, honor our leaders.
Right.
But it's funny, because you being intimidated by me, I'm the one having to ask the Father on a daily basis, just grow me in my own identity. I just want to give you a big hug and say, girl, don't be intimidated by me.
And it's not crippling me at all, right?
But yeah.
It's probably, some of it's coming from just assumptions, maybe even past stuff that I've...
We're getting on something there.
Honestly.
We project onto other people what we've gone through in the past.
For sure. But yeah, anyway, so that... So I feel like, I was thinking about this earlier, I feel like it's not a prerequisite, but a requirement of taking that class is he's going to test you in it, for sure. And so even... I guess I can share this. I believe there was a decision that I needed, or I was making about my house and who I felt the Father opening it up to and all that kind of stuff. Cause some girls are going to live there. And I felt that he'd given me specific people to highlight. Now, again, this is all a journey for me still. I'm learning to hear.
Me too.
And then I was asked about somebody else specifically by a leader. Mm-hmm. And I honestly, it was a test. I feel like it was, because at first I'm like, well, I don't know. Can I tell them, no, I actually feel this?
Father probably had that person say it on purpose just to test.
Oh, yeah. Them. I really do feel
that. I've never met anyone that tests more than him. He loves it.
Right. But the thing is, though, is that I want to humbly bring that to that person, because I could be getting it wrong too. You know what I mean? But they didn't feel, they felt that I was okay in the decision that I was making.
You know what the bottom line is from his perspective on the fear of man? Why do you think he just doesn't like it?
Because you're putting that before him.
That's it. You just describe idolatry.
Yeah.
You know, if I say idolatry to you or someone else, my mind goes to like Asherah poles.
Right.
This weird.
Something that's obvious.
Yeah. Like, okay, dude, you got 600 pair of shoes. It might be idolatrous or whatever. But he doesn't like it when we care about the opinion of someone else more than we care about his opinion. You know why I used to tell people what they wanted to hear a lot? I just didn't want them to hate me.
Right.
Like, one of the reasons I didn't want to become a lead pastor is I knew how much conflict would be involved. Let's just all get along. I woke up this morning, Holy Spirit told me to read the story of Jehu when he threw Jezebel down. And I'm like, that was this morning.
Yeah.
I'm like, there are times that confrontation is just absolutely necessary, and it's actually from God. I believe that Elijah was supposed to take Jezebel out, but he didn't. And then Jehu did it. Fear of man's a big one.
It's huge.
But to wrap up with the big point of where we're going at, you only know what battle to go through and what to overcome by the Shema itself. So the breadcrumbs thing you said, God's leading you breadcrumbs, not because he's mad at you. He just wants to be closer to you, and there's a couple idols in the way.
Yeah.
You know what's awesome, though? He'll teach you how to honor without being intimidated.
Right. Oh, and I'm walking through that right now.
One of your classmates is Gabby.
Yes.
And I had a word for her last week. I said, you just call me Pastor Chad 3 times in 30 seconds. Don't do that. I said, God really wants you to take a deep breath. I said, I know you honor, girl. I know you do. Just call me by my name. There's something going on at Ascent where God's really giving us a biblical paradigm of honor with no intimidation.
Right.
I love the story of David when he just goes to Goliath. Can you imagine how the intimidation, first of all, you got a giant that's about to kill you. Then you got your brother taunting you. You got millions of Israelites with armor on and a king. I mean, that was pretty intense. Seriously, that's who else would have done that? But he wasn't intimidated by any of it.
Right.
That's awesome. That's where I want to be. Not looking for some fight. Not that.
Right. Yes. That's key too. But I think it just comes from being intimate with the Father, right?
Mm-hmm. Why don't you pray for our listening audience that a breadcrumb methodology would be more real on a day-to-day basis, that just daily, hands off the wheel, daily let it go, daily Jesus take the wheel.
Father, I just thank you that you're just so gracious to give us breadcrumbs. It's just the small steps that you're giving us a pathway to follow, God. I pray and I bless that anybody listening to this, Father, in their journey, God, is if if you're revealing that they are intimidated in some way, Father, I pray that they grasp and they see the breadcrumbs that you are leaving them, so they can go each step, Father, and pursue you in all of this, God, and ultimately lead to a healthy biblical fear of you, Father. That's all that matters. In your name, amen.
Amen. You did great. Be blessed. Have a great week. Ascend the mountain of God. Go in peace.
Thanks for joining us on the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast. Don't miss the Coach and Joe Talk Show on YouTube and coachandjoe.com. For epic merch, blogs, and ways to help keep us up and running. We'll see you next time on the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast.